Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Let's turn to the Lord together in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we approach you upon the merit of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we acknowledge that in and of ourselves we have nothing to present before you of any merit of our own. We acknowledge, O God, that our righteousness does not come from ourselves, because all of our righteousnesses are filthy rags in thy sight. But Lord, we do rejoice that Jesus Christ entered into this world. And he lived that perfect life. He obeyed and he kept all the precepts and commandments of the law of God. And he merited for us that perfect righteousness. And we do rejoice, O Lord, in his perfect life, but also in his perfect death. And Lord, we're grateful, O Lord, for that day in our lives and in our experience when it was at the cross where we first saw that light and the burden of our heart rolled away. And Lord, we're filled with joy, O God, because our Savior, O Lord, has given to us that righteousness. That righteousness that has removed our sin and given us that relationship of peace with God. And Father, we acknowledge, O God, that you have not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. God did not give us what we deserved, but rather he gave us grace unmerited. And Father, truly, when we think of what God has given to us, we can say that we are a blessed people. The people of God are blessed beyond all measure. And Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the Word of God that blesses us with spiritual blessings through reading it and through hearing it being preached. Lord, our souls are encouraged and edified. And we ask for our brother, the Reverend Middleton, as he would come to preach the Word of God, give him power, give him liberty, grant him that unction, O Lord, that comes from above. And may he know the power of the Holy Ghost as he would minister the Word. We realize that whenever the Word of God is opened, and it is expounded and is preached, it's not just a man that is speaking. It is God that is speaking. And Father, our desire is that you would speak to us today. Come and give us a message for our souls. To all those who would listen, speak to our hearts and instruct us in the things of God. Bless us now and keep your hand upon us, for we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ alone. Amen. Amen. Our Bible reading is found in the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy in the chapter number 1. I want to begin at the verse number 9. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the blessed gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen and amen. We're going to turn now to our second hymn, and that hymn is, O Christ, what burdens bowed thy head.
I'd like to thank you, Andrew, for leading the meeting today. It is a pleasure to be here today to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Whilst we believe, and rightly so, might I add, that the Bible is the entire Word of God to man, from cover to cover, it has to be admitted that there are various texts of Holy Scripture which stand out more than others. There are texts which shout from the page more loudly than other verses found around them. Our text is one such verse, because verse 15 of our reading today says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." These words are set in a passage found in a letter penned from Paul to his fellow laborer in the gospel called Timothy. The first section of the first letter is Paul's testimony, which explains the closing line of the verse there, which I don't want to look at this afternoon, but it says, of whom I am chief. You see, a true understanding of the gospel and our Redeemer will produce humility in the heart of the saved sinner. There will be no room for pride or anything like it when we realize that our salvation and our redemption is all of grace. All that has been required for acceptance with God has been done and accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, we ought to be like Paul, humble and contrite when it comes to it all. And my friend, if you're not saved and you're watching this program, this is how you must come to Christ. This is the only way to be saved, namely to admit your sin and to take your rightful place as a penitent sinner like Paul did. I want you to see, first of all, in these words of verse 15, the person who is excellent. Because the text describes this person, and it does so by the use of two names. It says Christ Jesus. Christ means anointed one, the Messiah. Jesus means Savior, because we do read in Matthew 1, verse 21, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. His name is a special one, and it must be accorded the respect and the reverence that deserves. We read in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 to 11, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And friends, that is the reason why we have that well-known commandment recorded for us in the chapter 20 of the book of Exodus. And it says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. It's a very serious thing to break that commandment. For instance, in the use of any of God's names as swear words or sentence fillers, if we could put it that way, as all too many around us do in this day and generation. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ is a most special name, because that name speaks to us of his deity. Question 21 of the Shorter Catechism answers, the Lord Jesus Christ, who being the eternal Son of God, became man, and so was and continueth to be God and man. So Jesus Christ, who came into this world to save sinners like you and like me, was and is truly God. The Savior, who was divinely appointed to come and pay the price of our sin, is God himself in the flesh, his deity. But I want you to see also his humanity, because when the Lord Jesus came into this world, he was not coming into existence. Because as God, the eternal being, he has always existed. John 1 verse 1 declares, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is a particular title of the Lord Jesus. And that verse proves the pre-existence of Christ before even the foundation of this world. And the wondrous mystery of the grace of God is that he came into this world as the God-man. Galatians chapter 4 tells us, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. That's how the scriptures can refer to the Lord Jesus as the Son of Man, the seed of the woman, the seed of David in various places. It's also how Paul could say, again writing to Timothy in chapter 2, verse 5 of his first letter, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. One writer has put it so well, the Son of God became the Son of Man in order that the sons of men might become the sons of God. As Isaiah well said, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The glorious truth that joins these two great aspects of the excellent person of the Lord Jesus Christ is that, as the Catechism says, the Lord Jesus Christ, who being the eternal Son of God, became man and so was and continueth to be God and man in two distinct natures and one person forever. The person who is excellent. But then I want you to see, second of all here, the process which was extraordinary. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now, the process that I'm referring to is Christ Jesus came into the world. Just think about that. He came into this world. He who was long promised, even from way back in the book of Genesis, when he was foretold as coming as the seed of the woman who would bruise the heel of the serpent. That reference is Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. It's the first gospel promise in all of the Word of God. And so many years later, he did indeed come forth. It isn't so much that God's Word came to pass exactly as it was foretold, because that is easy to understand. We would expect nothing less from our God. Because if God says it, it will happen. There's no doubt about that. But it is that God himself would come. Not some other believer who's already passed into glory. Not some angel that was chosen for the task. But God himself, the Lord Jesus, the second person of the glorious Trinity. He himself came. No one else or nothing else could do. The hymn writer got it so right in the words, there was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. And again, our catechism in answer 22 says, Christ the Son of God became man by taking to himself a true body and a reasonable soul, being conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost in the womb of the Virgin Mary and born of her yet without sin. What a wondrous process that was. It was extraordinary. No other person has come into the world in such a manner as the Lord Jesus Christ has. Praise his name. The person who is excellent. The process which was extraordinary. But I want you to see in the third place the purpose which is exciting. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The blessed Son of God. Yes, God himself has come to save guilty, rotten, hell-deserving sinners like we are. Polluted and wretched breakers of God's holy law in thought, in word, and deed. And because also of what's known as original sin, that sin which we have inherited from our great-great-great-grandfather, the man called Adam. People like us who deserve nothing but the wrath of God forever in that place called hell. And yet, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Surely that is the most exciting news that anybody could ever hear. It's no wonder it's called the gospel, because the word gospel literally means the good news, because that is exactly what this is. And just think of that purpose. Sin, as we know, is a disease of the soul because it ends in death. And the Bible tells us twice over in the same chapter in the book of Ezekiel, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And when you find a repetition in the Word of God, it's there for emphasis. So the Holy Ghost who inspired this Word would have us sit up and take notice to it. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. James 1 and verse 15 tells us, sin when it is finished bringeth forth death. But praise God, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ has meant that the debt of every sin committed by every single sinner who will come and put their faith and trust in God's one and only appointed sin bearer, that sin debt was paid on the cross. My friend, sin must always be punished. And therefore, when the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, he himself took their punishment. He took our place. Our sins were laid on him, and through him and through him alone, every single sinner who puts their trust in him can and will be pardoned. That's why Paul was able to say in Romans chapter 3 and verse 26 that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. You see, the penalty is taken from the sinner because Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe. Without the Lord Jesus Christ coming into this world to save sinners, we would have no hope whatsoever. But praise God, he has so come. Praise the Lord, through his death, we can have eternal life. Through his sacrifice, we can know peace and acceptance with God. But you know, there's something else here with regard to this purpose being exciting. You see, if any sinner was just merely pardoned and that's all, what would happen? The sinner would immediately go out and sin again. They would lose their fitness for heaven. But there is another exciting purpose in God's plan of redemption to bring us out of sin and into heaven itself. And therefore, when Christ saves, he also keeps by the power of the Holy Ghost. You know that idea that many people have which says, I would love to be saved, but you know I couldn't keep it. Well, you know what? It's true. Whenever I hear people say that, I agree with them immediately because we could never, ever keep our own salvation. But here's the exciting thing. We don't keep it. And the Lord doesn't even expect us to keep it. That's why he has given us the Holy Ghost, because it is he who keeps us. I just love those words of John chapter 10, verses 28 and 29. They tell us, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. That's a great thing to know, if we're saved, that we've committed the safety and the keeping of our souls into the hand of God Almighty himself. God, who is far, far stronger than any sin that I could ever commit. God, who will not let one of his blood-bought children ever slip through his fingers, so to speak. So then there is the person who's excellent. There's the process which was extraordinary. There was the purpose that is exciting. But notice also, in closing, the profession which is exhorted. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Paul says, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation. Think of those two phrases. There is profession in Christ, this trust in the gospel. It's a faithful saying. In other words, what we're considering here is true. It's beyond any shadow of a doubt. It's beyond question. This is no fable. This is no story that is made up by mankind. Peter said in 2 Peter 1, verse 16, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And what that simply means is that when the Lord says the likes of, ye must be born again, when he says, except a man be born again, ye cannot see the kingdom of God, you can be dead unsure that he means it. He means what he says, and he says what he means. You can be dead unsure it's true. It's a faithful saying. It's also worthy of all acceptation. In other words, because it's true without any shadow of a doubt, all men, women, boys, and girls should accept it, should receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. People should be born again. The gospel is worthy of being believed and being depended upon because it's God's only way of you being acceptable to Him. It's trustworthy. There's no other way to glory. There's no other way to heaven. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you are. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. It is worthy of all acceptation. And friends, there's no chance that any person will be turned away because the invitation is for all who will receive it. No question of us having to turn over a new leaf. No question of us having to clean up our life first. No, we simply take the Lord Jesus Christ as he is, as he is freely offered to us in the gospel. That is the good news. We cannot do what has already been done through our works or our good living or anything else. That work that has already been done perfectly, completely, and satisfyingly on the cross by the Lord Jesus Christ. So tell me then, are you going to take him as your Savior? Tell me then, are you going to trust the Lord Jesus Christ? Tell me, are you going to be saved? I trust you will, for Jesus' sake. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts for his great glory. Amen. I'm going to close in a word of prayer. Let's pray, please. Heavenly Father, we thank thee and praise thee for this opportunity of preaching the gospel in this fashion. We pray that thou wouldst bless it as it goes forth. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst convince and convict and convert every single person that hears it. And we pray, O God, there would be the signs following the preaching of thy precious truth. Bless us now, Lord, part us with thy blessing, and look to us, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.